The Klal Membeis, we're up to Ais Ches, and we come to the mixture of meat and milk when they're both hot. Last night we discussed when the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, that it only goes, the taste only transfers kadeh klipa, small amount. A Ches, avobasa v'cholav reischim, but if you have hot milk and hot meat, shenisarvu yachad, or even cold meat that falls into hot milk so that the bottom one is hot. Anytime the bottom one is hot, it asks the whole thing. Or cold milk falls onto hot meat. It's completely awesome. Because the bottom one, which is hot, causes the top one that falls on it to be hot. And they're both, as if they're both hot, it's Tzar Shishim Levat. And this is rather a simple halacha, the simplest halacha of all. When you have hot meat and hot milk that mix, they both become treif, unless you have 60 times as much. There is a Chiddush Pela, which says in the Igros Maisha and in the Meshuv Davar, and it's a kula, and the biggest Chiddush is that the Badi HaShulchan brings it lahalacha. He tends not to like kulas that come from Achreinim. Rafael Kahn wrote the Badi HaShulchan, and he says they say the following chiddush. It might sound logical, but he says the following. Let's say you have hot meat and hot milk, or that mix. So you need 60 times as much of one as the other in order for it to be bottled. So let us say, for example, you have hot meat, and some milk falls into the hot meat. Let's say you have a pot of chicken soup that's cooking and you handle milchiks and spritzes into the soup. So if there's 60 times as much soup as the milk, it's mutter. I was once by Rav Moshe Bick. I was in his house and he answered the phone. So he says, the following, so I only heard his end of the conversation. He says, a heise chicken soup with cottage cheese. Lame redness of the mama. Obviously some child dropped some cottage cheese into the chicken soup and was calling Rabbi, let me talk to your mother. Well, if the cottage cheese that falls into the chicken soup is less than a 60th of the chicken soup is actually mutter. Most of our wives would throw it out and kasha the whole kitchen. But it's mutter. Now, that's not the chiddush. So the chiddush that says is that when you have, let's say I have hot milk spilled and ran, let's say to the stove and there's a hot pot of chicken soup cooking. And there's no 60, there's a lot of milk and it poured and everything should be awesome. So Ramesha says if you can collect the milk and measure it, let's say you know you started with 6 ounces of milk. Now, if you can collect the milk and measure it, you only need 60 times what's missing in the milk. You follow what I'm saying? Like I normally I would say, I have 6 ounces of milk, and it runs onto the stove or into an oven with his meat. So there's no 6 times 6, there's no 360 ounces in the meat or in the soup. So it should be awesome. So Ramosha says, by liquid you can measure it. Measure how much liquid remains. You see how much liquid absorbed. And all you need is 60 times that. Now that's a bit cooler because if you can collect the milk, 90 to 95% of the milk is likely to be there. As a matter of fact, it's highly unlikely that if you have a full pot, that the amount that disappeared was more than a 60th. Now, this is what it says in the Igros Maisha and in the Tziv, independently, Ramesh is not quoting the Tziv, says the same thing. Now why is it a Chiddush? Why is it a Chiddush? Let's say I have a hot piece of meat. And I put it onto, by mistake, somebody takes hot meat and hot cheese, and he puts one onto the other. And you pull off the meat quickly. Now the cheese is also because it got bleus from the meat. You don't say 1 minute. How much meat is missing? Not too much meat is missing. Maybe I have shishim. So we say because bleus travel, bleus are taste within the milk, and maybe some meat taste went into the cheese, some cheese taste went into the meat. And bleus transfer. Okay. Now the chiddush, to say that liquid doesn't have the same attribute of blius transferring, it's only the milk itself which transfers, is the chiddush of these two tshuvas.
Isn't the criteria taste?
The right. The word blius is, when we say taste, we mean how much taste absorbed into the meat. Here I have my steak, and milk ran under the steak. So clearly I rescue the steak from that milk, everything's hot. And I say, well now if you can taste, if the steak tastes milky, you gotta throw it out, there's no shayla. The question is technically measuring. So I would think, well, blius transfer, we say that the, whatever it is, the molecules of blius, they transfer from one to the other. The chiddush that in liquids, we don't say there was an exchange. And the amount of milk could be the same, but blius is transferred. That's the chiddush of these tshuvas. And in lamdis, the rules of chaticha nas nevela, there's what to argue about, because we do say that milk absorbs taste of meat. And nevertheless, this is a chiddush that they say. I remember still, when I learned Yerodeya, when I got my smicha, I wasn't unaware of this chiddush. At some later point, I bumped into it. And I remember going to Rav Palm and saying, Pella, look what they write. Rav Palm said, of course it's that way. And I was just shocked by it. It sort of went against the, not an individual halacha, but the whole concept that I always understood that we don't know what happens. We don't know how much transfer takes place. And therefore, chashish for the whole thing. If I have a fleishiga soup, a fleishiga spoon, let's say I stir the soup. And I stirred the cholent. So now I have a spoon that's fleishig, it's just fleishig, I just dipped it in. If somebody were to take that same fleishig spoon and stir a oatmeal, something milichik, you would need 60 times the volume of the spoon in order for the milk to be, for the milk to be mutter. Because the spoon is fleishig. When you have meat into milk, you need 60 times as much. Now, why don't we say, look, the whole spoon is not completely meat. Look at it. There's some metal there. There's a lot of metal there. Maybe I should only have half of it or three quarters of it. But we don't say that. We say we don't know how much blius there is, so we just measure against the whole flesh. And yet, by liquid, they say this chiddush that, that liquid's not that way. Liquid either absorbs or it stays liquid. So they bring rice. We're not learning the Masechta at the moment. So whatever rice they bring. But the halacha lemaisa that comes from it is a chiddush. It's a chiddush kula. It's nice every once in a while to bump into a kula, no? Especially when people call Friday afternoon with kitchen shilas. Nice to have a kula.
They bring actual rice. That liquid to liquid is different.
Liquid, well, not liquid to liquid, because liquid to liquid would mix and you couldn't separate them. But liquid to solid, I believe of liquid into solid.
A much bigger pot, the fourth or smaller pot.
You mean the contents? What?
When you have a much bigger pot, let's say 100 gallons, whatever it is, and force it, the whole pot falls into, I'm sorry, a smaller pot falls into a bigger pot. Don't you please there? Not the whole pot itself?
You mean the contents of the pot or the metal of the pot?
No, not the metal.
You mean if I have a gallon of milk that falls into 10 gallons of chicken soup,
right.
So I need to measure against the whole milk?
No, you have nothing in the second pot.
An empty pot.
Empty pot. You want to put blius there. You can't measure the metal. You don't
measure the metal. And you know what Ramesh says? If you have a gallon of hot milk and it falls into a flay sugar pot, everything's hot, take the milk. You had a gallon, take it out, measure it. If all you lost is an ounce, then the pot only has an ounce of milk. How much do you think you're going to lose? You know, you lose. But I would have, but it's not that way. If I take a steak and I put it into the pot, then I have to measure against the whole steak. It's a double pillar. That's right. So you have to one day sit down with Harva and understand it. But, okay. So you have homework. Okay. Okay, at any rate, that's the din. Once I got a call, Erev Shabbos, it won't happen anymore. The olden days, the livers used to come in the chickens. So I had, I think it was David Shurin about 20 years ago. He called me Erev Shabbos. He says his wife cooked the chicken in the chicken soup. She put in a chicken. And she took it out. There's a liver, an unbroiled liver inside, which is treif.
Right.
So I tell him, do you have shishim in the chicken soup against the liver? He said, how am I supposed to know? You know, you look at the liver. So I gave him instructions on the phone to fill up a pot, drop in the liver gently, see how much water is displaced, measure it and see if there's 60. Now it would have been very close. It's not a scientific measurement. But he measured it and it wasn't close. There was much more than shishim against it. Much more than shishim. So, so you can actually measure it and see, but you have to measure against the whole liver. We don't say, well, look, most of the liver is here, but you have to measure against the whole liver. It's just the way, what? No, he went to measure Erev Shabbos, you're throwing it out.
So what would happen if the hot milk went into the hot, flesh of the soup?
See, if the milk fell in.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I understand, so we're saying that you can measure how much. And if there's more than shishim of the soup, it's okay. So what happens?
It's only if you can recover the milk.
Let's say you start eating the soup and you can still taste
it. Yeah, that's, any time you can still taste it, it's asur. Anytime you can taste it. There are assumptions that when there's shishim, you can't taste it. But if a person can taste it, then, there's certain foods like butter, which has a strong taste beyond 1 in 60. If somebody were to smear a butter onto a roast beef, when he cooks it, you would taste it even if it's 60 times as much. What? Yeah, you would need more. Yeah, I don't know how to measure exactly, but it says tavlin, things that are that give taste. Spices are
kaplut.
Yeah, kaplut. Some of it tastes bad. No. Okay. Let's move on to tests. Anytime we write in this entire Seder of Learning, which will hopefully go on for quite a while, anytime it says the word hot, how hot is hot? Now, people have a mistake. They think Yad Seledes means your hand would get burnt. It's not true. Yad Seledes by, it's something you can hold. But it's something that if you expected it to be cold and you touched it, you would jump back. Now, if you know it's hot, you can put your hand on it. Yatzele display I mentioned the other day could be anywhere between about 115 to 160 degrees. It's not clear what the exact measurement is. But that's called Yatzele display. Even if something is taken off of the flame or out of the oven, anytime something's in the original kli rishon, the first pot means the pot in which it was cooked. Anytime it's in the pot in which it was cooked or roasted or baked, that is considered to be roseach. The imu dover gush. Okay, here's the halacha of dover gush. Dover gush means a solid. As follows. Well, why is a klisheni more kuladik? Cool. Right? You have hot soup in a pot, and then you pour it off into a storage container. So the reason that it's not considered hot anymore is because the second container cools off the soup. By a davar gush, we don't make that assumption. Davar gush is something that doesn't spread in a container. And when you put it in, it stands by itself. So it doesn't have that action of the walls of the container upon it. And therefore, listen how he says it. That's always a tricky thing in halacha. There are some who say that in a cliche, it's called reseach. Now the question is, what to do with the yeshayimrim? There are chalukei deis on the laws of davar gush. If I recall correctly, from Siman Kuf Hey, the Mechaber Rama don't hold of davar gush. The Mechaber Rama hold that is klirish and cliche, no such thing as davar gush. Shach and Taz bring it, and one of them is machmer straight, and one is only machmer by kli cheres oichel, but not by kli nape. Yeah, the same machlekes really. So the davar gush retains its din of hats. That means you have a steak, and it's sitting in a plate. I would say that's a klisheni. So we don't say, by davar gush, we don't say klisheni. We don't say the kula of a klisheni. So, what? If you leave it long enough, the heat will some will absorb and some will dissipate over time. Yes, 100%.
What's the general rule of thumb in halacha when you're paskening the yesh over? What do you do?
So the rule of Dover Gush is that we're not makel on a Dover Gush except with tsirufim. One of the jobs of learning smicha, of learning psak halacha, is to know when to combine shitas, when to combine different mekilim, each of which is not in and of itself enough to be mekel on, and to combine it as a shita. I mentioned to you on other occasions that I had a good friend who got married, and shortly after his marriage, they had a china set for milachiks. Apparently, they got two sets of chinas, and he used one for milachiks. And he tells me, last night by supper, his wife took a hot piece of chicken out of the oven and put it straight onto the milchika china serving piece. I said, hot chicken directly on a milchika? Bad news. Go ask Rav Palm. So he goes over to Rav Palm. It's not a very complicated shaila, right? Hot piece of chicken straight onto a china. So he says to Rav Palm, doesn't this happen? So Rav Palm says, this is a shvera shaila. Go, you live near Rav Bick, go ask Rav Bick. So I let him leave, and then I say, Rav Palm, what kind of shvera shaila? You know, he took a piece of chicken, he put it on a... He said, look, you just got married. It's a shana rishayna nik. Rav Palm tells me, I know Rav Bick holds, Rav Bick is a enik of Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden held that glass or glazed china is not beleya. So I know Rav Bick will be makel for him. So Shana Rishayna, let him go ask Rav Bick. He lives near Rav Bick anyway. Let him go ask Rav Bick. Yeah, that's what he said. So I guess it's a little bit of the fifth Shulchan Aruch. But Lemaisa, the Atzirufim here, there's the fact that a Dover Gush is a Machlaikis. And then there is a sheet that at glass is not Beleya. So many years later, I sat by Dayan Weiss in Yerushalayim once, Fishimush. He had his hours when he was answering Shilas, so I came, I sat by him for 2-3 hours. It was Sukkis, it was Chomayit Sukkis, I was there at Yisrael. So I visited him, I asked him if I could visit. He said, yeah, he's answering Shilas tomorrow, between whatever, 2 and 5, let's say. So I went to the Sukkah to sit with him. Well, there wasn't a single Shilas that you needed his gainus for. There wasn't a Shilas even, I brought my pen and paper to write down all the interesting Shilas. There wasn't anything of consequence. However, I had the breaks between people coming to be able to speak to him. So one of the things I asked him is how you use tsirufim. I told him, let's say you have a china that becomes aser, kavi mitzaref. There's some say china is not beleya, and there's some say you're waiting 12 months away. There's some say if you kasher it 3 times, you could kasher it. So he told me the following rule. He said to be makel with tsirufim, you can't take a bunch of das yachids from all over the place and use them. There has to be one main shita to rely on. If you have a main shita, then you have other shitas to be mitzarev, you could be mitzarev. So my assumption is that Rav Bick held as a main shita the fact that a davar gush may not give taste. That piece of hot chicken in the oven is a klisheni, but it's a davar gush. Now, really, that's not adequate because it would go clay kadei klipa anyway. So what I just said is not entirely so, because even if it's a cliche, the top is would go kadei klipa. But anyway, to be mitzarif with that, the other sheet is by kli cheres. Maybe that was a svara. But
if Rav Palm felt strongly, he wouldn't have said.
What do you mean felt strongly? Right? There's halacha. You say it halacha. The reason the Shulchan Aruch always says Yesh Omrim to be Meikel is for Shasat Chak. And I assume he understood it was a Shasat Chak. I don't know the guy. If all I know, Rav Palm knew that he had a rocky engagement or something and, that the house is not so peaceful maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's why he told them to go to his group. I have no idea. But certainly it's a lesson, at least in Beit Olam L'Chaveira.